This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
It's just a real privilege to be here today. And I was really blessed, as I'm sure you were, with Collier's message in engaging the battle. And the session today is entitled The Tragedy of a Wasted Life. Let me give you a little bit of the background of this. I'm 62, and I was recently thinking about life and how that life goes by very quickly. Now, I know as a young person, it seems like it's going to be a long time yet. And but let me just assure you that that time does go by very, very quickly. And so my encouragement, or what I want to do today, is really challenge you as you think about your life and as you think about what God may be calling you to avail yourself of the opportunities that God brings to you. And I'd like to begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for today. Pray that you'll bless our time together. Encourage our hearts. Challenge us with a purpose in life that brings wholeness and fulfillment and that helps us to come to the end of life without a lot of regrets. I pray for each one here today. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to our hearts as you see fit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to start with this little reading. April the 14th, 1912, the largest ship of its day left England for New York City with approximately 2,200 passengers. It was an unsinkable ship in the estimation of the experts. 2.5 hours later, after striking an iceberg, this unsinkable ship sank with untold destruction and loss of life. And as you think about that, one of the things that I want us to be able to avoid is making shipwreck of our lives. As I think about this verse in Ecclesiastes, the wise man said this: remember your Creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. Just another verse: so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So I want you to think about, how does one live life with a purpose? How does one live life in such a way to impact your world? And how do you live life in such a way so that at the end of life, you'll be able to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant? And a serious question for all of us today, but I think specifically for young people, is how can I really make my life count for God? So we're talking a little bit about a tragedy. I first entitled this, Don't Waste Your Life, but that's a book title, and so I changed it. I know this is somewhat negative, but the vessel designed for honor, the Titanic, ended up shipwrecked. It would be a tragedy if you live life with little or no returns at the end of it. It would be a tragedy if you get to the end of life and you find out that your ladder's leaning up against the wrong wall, or that your priorities and focus was not what it could have been, or a life consisting of treasures that have been put in the wrong place. Now, part of the motivation for this is that as a young person going to school, and just kind of living life, one of the things that's very interesting is that you have no idea how God is going to use those experiences to prepare you for the calling that He has for you in life. I shared at Schaeferstown yesterday, at seventh grade, there was a public speaking class, which I hated. And we had to give a speech in front of the high school students. And I remember just being so nervous that I was almost sick. But today I look back on that class and realize that God was preparing me for what He was going to call me to do. Another thing, when I went to Rosedale Bible Institute, I had no idea as a young person going to Bible school that God was going to use those experiences to prepare me for a life of ministry. And so the challenge right up front is, what are the opportunities and what are the experiences that God gives to you that He's going to use in your life to impact the kingdom? Tragedy means that which causes great harm, or we could say that which ends in a disaster. None of us like tragedies. In fact, tragedies are often unexpected. Now, wasted has the idea of to spend without need or gain or purpose. Have you ever bought a lemon? Have you ever spent money for something that afterwards you said, man, that was sure a waste of money. That was a waste. So the word waste has the idea of spending or investing in something that really does not bring a return. Or it's to, and this may be even more critical, it's to fail to take advantage just of the opportunities that God brings to you. And young people, I just want to say to all of us today that it's very important that when opportunities come for growth and development, you take advantage of those because God will use them in your life. Another meaning is to fail to put to proper use. And that simply means that you have something, but you're not using it wisely. You're not using it in a way that's going to benefit both you and other people. Of course, there's the idea of squandering time, money, or resources. Of course, you never do this, I'm sure. You don't waste time, right? I remember in school, sometimes you get tired of studying. Sometimes you get weary with what you're doing, and it's very easy to let time slip by, or money, or resources. So there's three areas of focus this morning, and I'm going to have to really keep moving because I started late, but I'll try very hard to get finished. I want to talk about the tragedy of wasted priorities. In other words, a tragedy of wasting the priorities in your life, the tragedy of wasted opportunities, and then the tragedy of wasted fruitfulness. So as we think about what those things are, let's look at the tragedy of wasted priorities. And I want you to think, I had a friend that came to our church, and he had this little saying that he often said to me when we talked about material things. He'd look at me and said, Dave, you know what? It's all going to burn. Which was simply to say that there are things that one can invest their life in, but it really does not bring a return or impact the kingdom. There's the tragedy of things that decay. And I'm using these words specifically so you think about, I want you to think about things that burn and it's gone, the ashes. I want you to think about things that decay and it's gone. There's nothing left. I want you to think about things that rust. How many of you know what rust does to things? In fact, you buy a new car, a new truck, and as soon as you drive it off the lot, it depreciates in value, and then someone dents it. And eventually, rust comes. And after a while, you don't quite know what to do with it. Things that rust. The tragedy of things broken into and stolen. I don't know if you've ever had anything stolen from you, but it's a feeling of frustration and helplessness that what you've had, someone else took. So as we look at this, and then there's the tragedy of things left behind. Things that you're not going to be able to take with you. I go by this farm. I think about it. Beautiful farm. Fairly wealthy man. But guess what? He died. And he left the farm there. He could not take it with him. And you can't take material things with you. What's the master's desire and answer to this? And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, which Jesus gives to us, I think, a purpose of life that is really important for us to catch a hold of. Matthew 6:19 says this, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through or steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I want you to think about something. Can you sacrifice short-term pleasure for long-term gain? One thing I've often said is that as individuals, it's difficult for us to have the long look. I like to encourage you to think 20, 50 years down the road. Think of the legacy that you would like to leave when you leave this world. What would you like to be that characterization of the kind of person you are? And that'll help you. So Jesus calls us to a single treasure. In verse 22, he calls us to a single eye. He says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness." And so as you think about that, what's the single priority of your life? What is the motivating factor that guides your decisions and your response in life? Then he goes on to talk about a single master in verse 23. There he says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And I really believe this too, that God calls all of us to a single calling. And there Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And he says, "All these things will be added unto you." And he says, "Don't seek after the things that the Gentiles all seek after." And the interesting thing that our culture has done to all of us to some degree or other, it has fed to us that security and that fulfillment and that happiness can somehow be found in material things. But let me just tell you, those things never really satisfy. What is a calling, young people and others? What's a calling that's going to bring fulfillment and purpose to your life? And Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom," and all of these things. And Jesus is he's just a good master. In fact, let me just tell you that when you seek first the kingdom, I can assure you that God's going to take care of you. You may think that you're sacrificing a lot. When Ellie and I went into mission work soon after we were married, we were barely out of debt. And we gave a number of years, and I thought about, well, how am I going to build a house? How am I going to, you know, you have all these questions of things you think you need. And let me tell you that God is so faithful and takes care of his children. You may not have everything you want, but you will have what you need. Plus, you will have, this is what, you know, you will have the tremendous joy of looking back over your life, and you'll be able to say, you know what? I invested in things that really counted. I don't know that there's any other greater satisfaction that a person can have than to come to the end of life and look back and be able to say, you know what? I am so glad. I think of Ernie Moomaw right now, who, when he was dying, Jay Lockman had called him, and Ernie began to weep. And he told Jay, he said, "Jay, I want you to know something. I'm not crying because I'm sad. I am crying because I am so happy." He said, I am so glad for the decisions I made to follow Jesus Christ and to honor his kingdom. And young people and all of us here today, there is no greater joy in life than coming to a place where you can look back and say, you know what? I am so glad that I chose God. Boy, this is going to be tough. When I came home, when Ellie and I came from Canada, we're driving home and I'm thinking about life. I was 25 maybe. And I asked myself the question, Dave, what are you going to do in life? Are you going to pursue the American dream? What are you going to do about work? I was in construction. And I made a specific decision as I came home from mission work. And my decision was this, that I would place ministry and people above material things. And I came home and I worked only 3 days a week. Gradually it increased to four. And you know how you get pulled in, and then it was five. But my commitment was that I would not put material things ahead of ministry and ahead of people. I have never regretted that decision. I'll give you another illustration. We were out by the pig pen. My dad was looking at us boys and he said, you know, guys, and he had tears. He said, I'm sorry that I've never been able to give you the material things in life. But with tears in his eyes, he said, I hope I've given you what will take you safely to the other side. I've never forgotten that. Listen, the things of this life will all pass away. But guess what? Eternally, you can take people with you. You can take treasures that you've put in heaven with you. Then there's the tragedy of missed opportunities. We all know what this is like. The tragedy of things lying dormant. Someone asks you to teach a Sunday school class. Oh, no, I can't. I can't do that. Or another opportunity. Gifts that God has given you. What does he want to do? What does he want to do through those gifts? For me, getting up in front of a crowd as a seventh grade student was horrifying. And I've had experiences since where you get up front and you just wish you could drop through the floor. Or you wish, you know, it's like, there's no way that I'll do this. Let me tell you a little secret. Every new experience that God has called me into has been a bit of a battle and a struggle. We went to Canada. I was like, I'll do maintenance, but I'll not teach. That was my call to teaching up there. SMBI, I still remember the first week at SMBI. Every night I was up late, and I was like saying, you know what? I'll never make it. I can't do this. And you know, the enemy that Collier talked about this morning is very real. Starting late, I was in bed. Ellie knew something was wrong, and I finally realized it was the enemy. And I out loud, first time I ever did it, but I out loud, I said, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood, I command you to leave. And I rolled over and went to sleep. And I taught what I thought I couldn't do. What I want to tell you is that God will take you into areas of ministry and service that you have no idea of. And you may say today, there is no way I will ever do that. You know, the tragedy of things buried. The fellow with the one talent, what did he do? He said, well, and I think he was afraid. He says he was afraid. What did he do? He buried his talent. You know what God said? Take it away from him and give it to those who have, because he wasn't willing to use the opportunities that God had given him. Then there's a tragedy of things bypassed. I hardly have time, but let me just, there's an account that is rather interesting in the Old Testament. And basically, this guy was supposed to keep track of another man, and he didn't do it. He says, as I was busy here and there, things got away from him. What's our master's desire? I think of what Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that is in thee. If I could encourage you in one thing, it would be faithful in little things. Paul said also, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And so God gives us these opportunities. Jesus said, work while it is called today. The night cometh when no man can work. So the master's desire for you and I is that the gifts and the purpose for which he created you, that you'll find a way to discover that and to live that out in your life. This particular phrase, blessed are those servants who when he cometh, he findeth them so doing. That comes from the account where if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would have broken in, he would have watched. And then Jesus goes on to tell us to watch, and he talks about a faithful servant, and he talks about an evil servant, and the importance of being occupied and being doing what we have been called to do. So what's your gifts? What is the thing that God is leading you to? What do you think God wants to do in your journey of faith? And I would say to you, take those opportunities. The last area that we have here is the tragedy of wasted fruit. Things that dry up. You remember the fig tree? Jesus came looking for fruit, and because he found none, he cursed the fig tree. And a little bit later, the disciples and him came back, and they said, Lord, look at this tree. It had dried up. But you know, it's also possible for people to dry up. It's possible for us to not have the fruit in our lives that God wants us to have. Then you have the things that choke. Jesus talked about the thorns that choke out the word, and it becometh unfruitful in our lives. And there's the things that enter in. He talks about the things that enter in that cause us to be distracted from the task that he has called us to. So the question I would ask, what do you believe God wants to do in your journey of faith? And my encouragement to you is to not waste your talents, not waste your life, not waste your opportunities that God gives to you. What's the master's desire? But they that are on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. They that are of a good ground are they which with an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. That's in Luke 8:13. But far too often our lives are robbed of fruit. Notice this, and they which fell among the thorns are they which when they had heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and the pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. So God is calling us to take the opportunities and the gifts that he's given us and to invest them in his kingdom. But you know, there are substitutes for fruitful living. I don't know what you do with some of this. Jesus said, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the thrills of personal pleasure can choke the word so that it becomes unfruitful in your life and in my life. I'm not sure how a person in our culture finds a way to balance priorities. If you stop and think about that, that's a challenge. You young people will be pulled. I'm sure you will. You'll be pulled by job security and by financial security and by things that bring pleasure here in this life. But trust me, when you're 60 years of age and you begin to think back over what's really important in life, those things lose their significance pretty quickly in a person's thinking and in a person's life. So this passage has always blessed me. Paul talks about, and we started out with the vessel that was designed for honor, the Titanic, unsinkable. It was supposed to be the finest of its day. What happened to it? Well, we know it experienced shipwreck. And Paul also talks about us being a vessel of honor. So we want to be a person that has the approval of God. We want to be a workman that's not ashamed. And we definitely want to become a vessel of honor. And I'd like to just look at that passage in 2 Timothy. Take time to read this, because it really does speak to the importance of our investing in eternal things. Verse 15, steady to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold, of silver, and of wood, and of earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Then Paul says this. He says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I have some concluding encouragements for you. If you've missed everything I've said, I want you to pay attention. Avail yourselves of the opportunities for training. I don't know how many of you have gone to Bible school, but I believe in it very firmly. God does things in your lives as you study God's word. God prepare. I had a teacher at Rosedale. He loved outlining. He made us outline so many scriptures, earth. I've outlined the book of Daniel, Revelation, the sacrificial offerings, outline after outline after outline. Guess what? I had no idea that the Lord was going to use that in my life in sermon preparation and those kinds of things. Avail yourselves of opportunities for training, for development of your gifts, for increasing your skill level. And that means your home church involvement. It starts there. I would encourage you, sit in the front. Take notes. Avail yourselves of opportunities to serve within your church. Tremendous growth that can help happen in those kinds of things. Bible school, mission exposure. Have you thought about your life purpose? Formulate and clarify your life purpose. This is what I will do. Now, you can ask God to clarify that for you, to help you and direct your steps as to what God really wants you to do in life. Establish priorities consistent with your life purpose. In other words, if you're seeking first the kingdom, then that becomes the priority, which even affects the way you do your job. The willingness to give a cup of cold water, the willingness to speak a word of encouragement, the willingness to send a card to someone, the willingness to give a helping hand. Those are little things that can make a big difference. Establish personal disciplines, accountability, and boundaries of integrity. And that simply says what you are, who you are, is critical in terms of what you're going to be able to contribute and how you're going to impact the kingdom. Fourthly, be alert to the things entering in which would detract you from your life purpose. What are those things that don't fit with your life purpose? What are those things that are going to keep you from fulfilling that life purpose? God would ask us to be alert to that and to eliminate those things from our life so that we can do what he wants us to do. I wrote this, improve your serve through reading. Now, I like to read. I know there's some that don't like to read, but I would encourage you, you don't quit school in 12th grade. You really shouldn't. I mean, it's easy to think, now I'm finished with school. I would encourage you, keep reading, keep growing, keep looking for opportunities to improve through seminars and refresher courses. Ellie and I are stepping down from leadership at Central this year. And one of the things I want to do is go back to school. I'm 62 years old. But we're actually looking at the possibility of being able to take classes and being able to refresh and give input to me through that. And that brings us to the end. Any questions or comments that anyone has? I guess I want to conclude just with this challenge, which I've said it a number of times, I know it. But as I was thinking back over my life, and as I think about how quickly life goes by, the motivation for this was, you know, as a young person, you have your life ahead of you. So much potential. There's potential in you that you may not even realize today. And my prayer and my encouragement to you would be, man, unlock that potential. Let the Lord take you one step at a time into a life calling that's going to bring joy and blessing in your life. So that when you're 62 or whatever, you don't have to look back and say, man, I wish I'd have done this. So that at the end of life, your ladder is not leaning up against the wrong wall, or you found that you've really wasted your life. May God help us not to do that. Father, we thank you for these young people and others who are here today. I pray that you would help us to set the kind of priorities and the kind of life purpose that will enable us to be effective in your kingdom. I pray that you would protect them from the things that would choke out and distract them from carrying out your purpose. And I pray that you would give them wisdom to make good decisions about life. Lord, keep them in your grace. Give them a good day today. In Jesus' name, amen.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.